This week's Parsha is Parsha's Noach, and we'll start our shiur on chapter 7, verse number 23. The verse is dealing after it was raining on the earth. Then the verse says that because of the rainwaters, Vayimach es kol hayikum asher al pnei ha'adama, that Hashem wiped out all existence that was on the face of the earth. Me'odom ad behema ad remes v'atov ha'shamayim, from men to animals to creeping things and to the birds of heaven. V'imachu min ha'aretz, they were wiped out from the earth. V'yishoer ach Noach, and it remained only Noach. V'asher ito v'atevo, and those who are with him inside the ark. Rashi on verse Vayishoer Ach Noach, Rashi gives three different interpretations of the meaning of the verse Ach Noach. The first interpretation is that Levad Loach, that Noach remained alone. And this interpretation is a very problematic interpretation, because clearly we know that Noach was alone, because since it says that everybody was wiped out, why you need to tell me that Noach was alone? The Mizrahi says that it comes to tell you that only Noach remained and not Oig Melech HaBoshon, meaning that the Daza Kenim Baal Toises on the words Vayishoer Ach Noach, that only Noach remained, brings down the name of Rav Yudah Chosid, that here is a remez, here is an allusion that Og escaped from the Mabul, because the numerical value of Ach Noach, only Noach, is the same numerical value as Og. Meaning that the Aleph of the Ach is 1, the Chof is 20, that's 21, the Nun is 50, that is 71, and the Ches is 8, that makes it 79. Meaning that the word Ach Noach is numerical value 79, and the word Oig, which is the person, the giant that was saved by the Mabul, is also 79, because the Ayin is 70, the Vav is 6, and the Gimel is 3, which makes it 79. So Rabbi Yehuda Chosid says that this is an allusion that Oig Melech HaBoshon survived by holding on to the Teva. So the Mizrahi says that when it says here, Ach Noach, that you should know that only Noach remained in the Teva and not Oig Melech HaBoshon. Sefer Nachas Yaakov asks a question to the Mizrahi, how can he say that, when Rashi himself brings down in Parshas Lech Lecha, Bereshis chapter 14, verse number 13, where it says there, Vayavoy Apolit, that the escapee, the fugitive, came, Vayaged LaAvram HaIvri, told to Avram that his nephew was kidnapped, and Rashi brings down that who is this refugee, or who is this person who escaped. Rashi writes down, Lefi Pshutoi, the simple interpretation is, Ze oik shepolat minam lechama, that's oik that escaped from the war. Then Rashi brings down the Medrash, Ze oik shepolat minam abul, that this is really oik that escaped from the floods, meaning that Rashi brings down that oik escaped from the floods. Then how can the Mizrahi say that the explanation of Rashi, when it says that Ach Noach, only Noach, means Levad Noach, Noach alone, and oik was not there, when Rashi clearly says later that Noach was there? Therefore, Sefer Nachlas Yaakov explains that what the Mizrahim is to say is that Ach Noach was inside the Teva, meaning that only Noach and his family were in the Teva, but Oig Melech HaBoshon wasn't inside the Teva. He was outside the Teva together with the Re'im. As the Gemara in Zvachim, Daf, Kof Yud Gimel, Amud Beis 113b explains that the Re'im was a huge animal, and he didn't fit in the ark. Therefore, Noach tied them outside the ark and fed them from the food inside the ark. So too, Oig Melech HaBoshon did not come into the ark. He was hanging outside the ark together with the Re'im, as the Gemara actually says there in Zevachim, Daf Kof Yud Gimel Amud Beis 113b. Meaning that when the verse says here, Vayishoer Ach Noach Ve'asher Ito Bateva, it means to say that only Noach and what's inside the Teva remained, meaning Noach remained alone inside the Teva, but outside the Teva we had Oig Melech HaBoshon and we also had the Re'im. So therefore there is no contradiction with what Rashi says later, because Og could have survived, but he definitely did not survive inside the Teva, and he survived only outside the Ark. Rashi gives a second interpretation, and the second interpretation says, Umedrish Agoda, the Medrish Agoda brings down, Goneach, that he was coughing, the Goye Dam, and he was retching blood, Mitoirach Abahemos Vachayos, because of the trouble of caring for the animals and wild beasts. And this is based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Ches Omed Beis 108b, where there the Gemara says, Omer Rav Chana Bar Bizna, the Rav Chana Bar Bizna says, that Eliezer, the servant of Avram, told Shem ben Noach how it was on the Teva, and Shem ben Noach explained to him that Tzar Godel Oyulon Bateva, that we had a lot of distress in the Ark, that animal that normally eats by day, we fed it by day. An animal that normally eats by night, we fed it at night. Meaning that they were occupied around the clock, and therefore Noah was complaining. The Mizrahi explains that since every time it's written the language Ach only, that comes to make a miyu, that comes to diminish something, to say that it is not the way normally, but it's coming to diminish something. In our case, is diminishing part of Noah, meaning diminishing his lifestyle, that now Noah has to take care of the animals and he can't sleep, so therefore there was diminishing some of Noah. The Berach Moshe asks a question on this answer of Rashi, that Noah was complaining about the hard work that he's doing with the animals, and he asks, since Hashem labeled Noah as a tzaddik, how is it possible that Noah is complaining about the hard work that he's doing with the animals? Clearly, Hashem called him a tzaddik, and a tzaddik is always happy to do Hashem's will. A tzaddik normally does everything besimcha, even though it involves hard work. Then why is Noah complaining? Therefore, the Berach Moshe answers, based on the Daz Akenim Baal Tosfos that we mentioned previously, that he mentions that since it's written Ach Noach, and the numerical value of Ach Noach means Og, that means that Og was also surviving. Because Og was surviving, that caused Noach to complain about his hard work. Meaning that since Noach saw prophetically that Og Melech HaBoshan is going to try to destroy the Jewish people when they come out of Egypt, as the Gemara in Brachas Daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis 54b describes, that Og took a big mountain the size of the encampment of the Jewish people when he wanted to throw against the Jewish people, and Hashem had to make a miracle that the Og's tooth extended and he could not throw it, it blocked him from throwing. So Noah knew that Og is an evil person. Then Noah was thinking that, I understand that if I'm doing all this hard work to have a renewal in the world, that all the evildoers are gone, and now we have a complete renewal, that only righteous people are going to populate the world, then all this sacrifice, all this hard work that I'm doing, it's worth it. But now that this evildoer, Og, is surviving, hanging onto the Teva, to the Ark, then Noah thought that all his hard work is for nothing. Therefore, Noah was complaining about the hard work that he's doing. But in truth, Noah saw something, but did not see Hashem's intent. The Berach Moshe says that the intent of Hashem was what is written in Gemara in Gittin, Daf Lamed Ches Amet Aleph 38a, where there the Gemara says, Omar Rav Papa, Rav Papa says, Amon Imoav Tiharo B'Sichon, that Amon Imoav became purified in Sichon, meaning that it was prohibited for the Jewish people to go against a war or to even start taking territory of Amon Imoav, because since Amon Imoav are descendants of Lot, Hashem did not want that the Jewish people do any war against them or conquer any territories of theirs. So therefore Hashem put Sichon and Og, and Sichon went into war against Amon and Moab, and also Og went to war against Amon and Moab, and because of that war, they were able to conquer territory of Amon and Moab. Like that, when the Jewish people come and conquer Sichon, automatically, by default, they already conquered the land of Amon and Moab. Meaning that they don't go directly to a war against Amon and Moab, they get the land of Amon and Moab indirectly, because Amon and Moab is conquered by Sichon and Og, and then the Jewish people go and conquer Sichon and Og, Therefore, they get the land of Ammon and Moab. And the Berach Moshe brings the Parashas Drachim, where the Parashas Rechem explains the Tilem in chapter 136, verse number 17, where there it says, Lemakem Melachim Gedolim, Hashem who smote great kings, Ki le'olam chazoy, that forever he is in kindness. And then it continues, Vayaharok Melachim Adirim, Hashem who slew mighty kings, Ki le'olam chazoy, forever he is his kindness. And then it says, Lesichon Melach Amori, that Sichon, the king of Amori, Ki le'olam chazoy, forever is his kindness. Ulo'oik Melach Bashon, and to Oik, the king of Bashon, Ki le'olam chazoy, that forever is his kindness. And Venosam Artsam L'nachlo, and he gave his land as a heritage, Ki le'olam chazoy, that forever is his kindness. Nachlo le'Israel Avdoy, a heritage to Israel, his servant, Ki le'olam chazoy. So the Parashas Drachim asks that these verses seems to be completely redundant, meaning that first it says, Hashem who smote great kings, forever is his kindness, and he killed mighty kings, Ki forever is his kindness. It seems to be redundant, because if he smote great kings and killed mighty kings, is the same thing. And normally, it means to say, which are the kings that they killed? Sichon Melech Amori, Eloik Melech HaBashon. Why does David HaMelech needs to tell us again in Tehillim who they are? We know clearly who they are. Either start saying that Hashem who killed the kings, Sichon Melech Amori, Eloik Melech HaBashon, automatically I know that they were mighty and strong. And furthermore, it says, he gave the land as a heritage. Obviously, to who did he give this land for heritage? Obviously, to the Jewish people. So then why you have to say again, Nachlo l'Yisrael Avdoy, that the heritage was for the Jewish people. Therefore, the Parashat Drachim explains that when it says, L'makem Melachim Gedolim, Hashem, who smote great kings, and Vayarek Melachim Adirim, and he killed mighty kings, it's not referring to the killing of Sichon and Oik. That's referring to the kings of Ammon and Moab, which Sichon, Melech Amori, Loik Melech HaBashon, they are the ones who killed the Melachim Gedolim and Melachim Adirim. Meaning that Sichon and Oik were able to kill the kings of Ammon, the kings of Moab, and by killing the kings of Ammon and Moab, they were able, V'nosam Artsam Nachla, Hashem gave the land of Ammon and Moab as a heritage to Sichon and Oik. Not that Hashem gave the heritage to the Jewish people, and afterwards, Nachlo l'Yisrael Avdoy, afterwards, since we conquered Sichon Melech Amori, Loik Melech HaBashon, we were able to get the heritage for the Israel. But when it says, L'makim Melachim Gedolim, V'yarek Melachim Adirim, it's not referring to Sichon and Oik, it's referring to Ammon and Moab, which they were killed by Sichon Melech Amori, Loik Melech HaBashon, and Hashem gave the land of Ammon and Moab, L'Nachlo, as a heritage to Sichon and Oik, and then, Nachlo l'Yisrael Avdoy, they're like that, the Jewish people were able to take that heritage for Israel, their servant. So it comes out that Hashem really had a plan for Oik to survive because Oik was needed to take the land of Sichon of Oik. But since Noach did not understand that, therefore Noach felt that since evildoers survive, then the evildoers are going to cause harm for the world. And therefore Noach was complaining about all his work that he's doing. Since there are so many evildoers, then the work is for nothing. Then Rashi gives a third interpretation what Noah was doing. Rashi says, the Yesh Omrim, and some say, Sheichar Mezoinos Lari, that Noah delayed giving food to the lion. V'ikishu, and the lion attacked him. V'ol of Nemar, and on Noah it's written the verse in Mishle chapter 11, verse number 31, Hen Tzadik Ba'oretz Yisholom, behold, the righteous one is paid on earth, meaning that he was punished on earth for what he did. Meforshim ask many questions on this last statement of Rashi, that the lion hit Noah because Noah delayed giving him food. The first question they ask is, how do I know that Noah was hit? The simple answer that they give is that since we mentioned earlier that the language Ach, Noah, means that Noah was diminished, and therefore Mefarshim say that Noah was physically diminished, meaning that the lion hit him and he became physically diminished. Then Mefarshim asks, how do I know that it was actually the lion that hit Noah? Maybe it was any other animal. The Gur Ari explains that since it's written Ach Noah, which means that Noah fell a little bit from level, and we want to say that Noach didn't fall too much from his level, he just fell a little bit from his level, and we know that Hashem does not allow animals to hurt the righteous people, therefore we must say that if Noach fell from his level and the animal is going to attack him, then we must say it wasn't just any animal, it was the king of the animals, the lion. Meaning that since Noach fell from the level and now Noach could be harmed, then we say that it wasn't just from any other animal, it must have been from the king of the animals, and therefore we know that it was the lion. Sefer Teres Chaim answers the question, how do I know it was a lion? And also he asks the question, why in fact did Noach delay the food for the lion? All based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Ches 108, where there the Gemara writes down that Shem ben Noach continued to tell Eliezer about what was happening in the Teva, and there it says that Arya Ishto Zinsei, that the lion had a fever and that sustained him, therefore the lion did not attack any other animals because of the fever. The Gemara continues the Amar Rav, because Rav said, Loi Batsir Meshita, no less than 6 days, Loi Tfei Mitreisar, and no more than 12 days, Zaina, the fever sustains the lion. Meaning that the fever of the lion could be anywhere from 6 to 12 days. You don't know exactly when the lion is going to be hungry. Therefore, Sefer Teres Chaim explains that Noach appeared to the lion to feed him after 7 days, but the lion still had fever, so therefore Noach waited another 5 days to feed the lion, and when he came there, the lion was already hungry because his fever was gone the next day, and it was a couple days since the lion ate, therefore the lion hit Noach. Meaning Noach really did not want to starve the lion, because Noach thought that the lion's fever is going to last 12 days, but in fact that fever lasted less than 12 days, and therefore Noach delayed the food, and therefore the lion hit him, and therefore also, but we know that it was the lion. I wanted to answer the question of why specifically the lion hit him, meaning that probably Noach was late to give food to a lot of animals, and only the lion got permission from Hashem to hit Noach, because we know that no animals do anything unless Hashem allows it. And we learn that from what is written, the Or HaChaim HaKodesh, in Parshas Vayeshev, where there in chapter 37, verse number 21, when the brothers wanted to kill Yosef, there it says, Vayishma Reuven heard that the brother wanted to kill Yosef, Vayatzileu miyadam, and he saved them from their hands. Vayomer, he says, Lo inakeinu nofesh, let's not kill him. And we know that Reuven told them that he should throw them in a pit full of snakes and scorpions. And the Or HaChaim HaKodesh asks, what kind of saving is that, that you take him from killing him directly and you throw him in a pit of snakes and scorpions? Therefore, the Or HaChaim HaKodesh says, Lefi shodom bal bechira verotzen, because a man has free will and he has choice, and he could kill Mishur and his Chayev Misa, somebody who is not liable for death. Mashenk and Chayus Rois, which is not the case of wild animals, Lo Yivgebo Adam im Lo Yischayev Misa L'Shamayim, that he won't harm a person unless the person is liable for death in heaven. Meaning that Reuven decided that he's going to take the choice of killing Yosef out of the brothers, because the brothers could kill him even though it was not decreed by Hashem, and instead throwing him in a pit of snakes and scorpions where they could only harm a person if Hashem allows it. If that is so, then we have to understand why in fact did Hashem allow the lion to harm Noah, since we know that the lion did not attack any other animals while they were in the Teva. Why did Hashem specifically allow the lion to harm Noah when Noah delayed? I wanted to answer this by what is written on Parshas Kitzeter, Dvarim chapter 23, verse number 4 and 5. There it says that Lo Yavoi Amoni Moavi Bikal Hashem, that Amonite Moavite cannot enter the congregation of Hashem, Gam Dor Asiri Lo Yavoi Loem Bikal Hashem, even the 10th generation should not enter the congregation of Hashem, ad olam, until forever. Why? Al dvara shelo kidmu eschem bolechem ivamayim, because they did not greet you with food and water, but derech on the road, v'tzeischem Mitzrayim, when you went out of Egypt. Meaning that when you went out of Egypt, they should have come out and greeted you with food and water, and they didn't do that. Therefore, they cannot enter the congregation of Hashem, and therefore they are banned from entering the congregation of Hashem forever. The question is, why in fact did Ammon and Moab need to bring us food and water? We don't have this argument against Edom or against any other nation that didn't come out and greet us with food and water. Why specifically we have this argument against Ammon and Moab? And because they didn't do that, therefore they can't enter the congregation of Hashem. And Mefarshim explained that the reason why Ammon and Moab have to greet us with food and water is because since Ammon and Moab come from Lot, meaning Lot got drunk after the destruction of Sodom and he had relations with his daughters, and out of that relations came out the tribes of Ammon and Moab, and Lot was only saved from the destruction of Sodom because of Avraham Avinu, meaning the merit of Avraham Avinu saved Lot. By his own merit he would have died. Therefore Lot owes a debt of gratitude to Avraham Avinu, and therefore the children of Lot have to show gratitude to the children of Avraham Avinu forever, even though it is now over 400 years after that story. Nonetheless, they have to show gratitude, and one way of showing gratitude to the people that you owe a debt of gratitude to is that you should bring them food and water first. Because the verse says not that they didn't bring you food and water, the verse says that they are guilty, al dvar asher lo kidmu eschem balechem mayim, because they didn't come out and greet you, not that they didn't give you food and water. Therefore, we see that whenever you owe a koras hatoiv, gratitude for your life, you're required to greet first somebody else or the descendants of that person. In this portion, chapter 7, verse number 16, it says, Vaboim zochna kevim kol boser bo, and those who come, meaning the animals who came, male and female, from all flesh, from all types, came, kasher tzivo ois elokim, like Hashem commanded him, vayizgur Hashem badoi, and Hashem closed off for him, meaning Hashem closed off the ark for Noach. The Yalkut Shimoni Remez Nun Vav brings down that kivun sheroa reshoim sheheim avodim, once the evil people saw that the rain started coming and they are being lost, bikshu lahapor chasateva, they tried to destroy the ark, hikiv aroyos lateva, Hashem made the lions go around the ark, they ate those evil people. Shenema, because it's written in Daniel chapter 6, Elokai sholach malachei, Hashem sent his angel, v'soga puma rivasa, and it closed the mouth of the lions, v'loi chavluni, and they did not harm me. The verse is talking about when Daniel was thrown in the pit of lions, then Hashem made sure that the lions did not harm him, and Daniel is saying that Hashem closed the mouth of the lion not to harm him. Then the Yalkut Shimoni plays with the words that here it's written, Vayizgoir Hashem Badu, Hashem closed off for him, which we know that Hashem protected the ark by closing something off. And there it's written, Kesogar Pumarivasa, that he closed off the mouth of the lion. So therefore we know that Noah was protected by putting lions around him. Even though according to Rashi, this was actually also with bears and lions, but the Yalkut Shimoni brings the verse, which the verse shows clearly, it was only lions. Comes out according to this, that the lions are the ones that saved Noah, because if the people would have succeeded in destroying the ark, Noah could not be saved. Therefore, the lions saved Noah. Comes out, if the lions saved Noah, then Noah owes a koras hatoiv for the lion. And when you owe a koras hatoiv, a gratitude to somebody, you have to greet them first with food and water, as we see that Ammon and Moab is faulted for not doing this. Therefore, since Ichar Mezoinus Lari, since Noah gave food for the lion late, he showed a lack of a koras hatoiv, a lack of gratitude. Therefore, Hashem allowed for the lion to hit him. And therefore it finishes very well, because it says that the finish, that Hein Tzadik Ba'aretz Yeshulam, that a tzaddik gets retribution in this world, which means that Hashem wanted for Noach to receive the retribution in this world and not in the world to come. Sefer Yerushalayim explains that we know that it was a wild animal that hit Noach, because here it's written, Vayishor Ach Noach, only Noach remained. And then in Shmos chapter 9, verse number 15, when it's talking about the plagues in Egypt, it's written, Ki ato sholachte es yodi, now I send my hand, Vayach Oyscha, and I hit you, Ves Amoch, and your nation, Badover, with the pestilence, Vatikochet min haaretz, and you would be obliterated from the land, which means there the word Vayach means that I hit you. So here too, when it's written, Vayishor Ach Noach, that only Noach remained, it's supposed to be read, Vayishor, and it remained, Ach Noach, Noach being hit. And therefore we know that Noach was hit by an animal, and we assume that it was the king of animals, the lion. Sefer Be'er Basada gives a beautiful interpretation, and he says that if you look, the word Vayishor alludes to all three interpretations of Rashi. The first interpretation of Rashi is that Noach remained alone, and that is the simple interpretation of the word Vayishor, that he remained. The second interpretation of Rashi is that Noach was complaining about all the food that he had to give to all the animals, meaning that there was a lot of work for him feeding the animals, and therefore he was complaining. And Sefer Be'er Basada explains that this comes from the language that is written on Parshas Mishpatim, where there, when you buy a Jewish slave woman, technically you're supposed to marry her, and then if you marry her, or your son marries her, that verse in chapter 21 of Shmos, verse number 10 says, Imacher zikachloi, if the owner is going to take another wife, in addition to the wife that he had, she'era, her food, suso, her clothing, voinoso, and her marital relations, lo yigra, should not diminish, meaning he has to keep the same as before. And there we see that the word she'era means food. So here too, when it's written the word vayishor, it does not translate as remained. It translates vayishor and ach noach, the food caused ach noach, that Noach was complaining, ach. So vayishor comes from the language she'era, which is food. Therefore we know that Noach was complaining about the hard work that it was to feed all the animals. And then Sefer Be'er Basada says that the third answer of Rashi, that Rashi says that Noach delayed food for the lion and the lion hit him, is also alluded in the words Vayishor, because the letters of the words Vayishor, Vav, Yud, Shin, Alef, Reish, if you scramble them around, it makes the word Vesheari and the lion, meaning that the lion was the one that hit Noach, and therefore all three interpretations are alluded in the word Vayishor Ach Noach, that only Noach became Vayishor. Either it's remained, or food, or Vayishor means the lion. And Sefer Be'er Basada continues and explains that the reason why Hashem allowed Noach to be hit by the lion, it is because of what Rashi brings down in chapter 9, verse number 7, where there it says, Vayava Noach, one of Ishtoi, Noach his sons and his wife, Unshevanov, and the wives of his children, came Itoi together with him, Elateva, into the ark, Mipnei Meyamabul, because of the waters of the flood. So Rashi writes down, what do you mean because of the waters of the flood? That means that there was waters already, they didn't go in before the waters come out. So Rashi says, Af Noach, Noach also was Miktane Manoyo, for those who did not have total faith, they have little faith. Mamin, he believed, Be'ein Mamin, and yet he did not believe fully, Sheyavo Yamabul, that the floods will come, V'renechnas Atevo, and only came into the ark, Atcha Dachku Amayim, until the waters compelled them to do. So therefore it's written that they came in, Mipnei Me'amabul, because of the waters of the Mabul. But they didn't go in by themselves before it rained, because Noach did not believe totally that the flood is going to happen, even though Hashem told them that this is going to happen. So because Noach had little bitachon, did not believe so much, therefore, says Sefer Be'er Basada, he deserved to be punished, and therefore the lion came and hit him. And that fits very well with what Rashi writes down also in the end of the Rashi, because Rashi says also by Olav Nemar that on Noah being hit by the lion, it says, and Tzadik Boreh Shulam, that the righteous get paid on this earth, meaning that they get punished in this earth in order for them to keep the reward in the world to come. And the punishment he got is because he did not have total faith. Sefer Shemeroish says that all three answers of Rashi are actually one big answer, meaning that clearly Noah had fallen from the level, because Noah was complaining about the trouble that he had in feeding the animals. And Sefer Shemeroish says that according to the level that Noah was, because Noah was a tzaddik, a righteous person, that was considered to Noah a slight, because since a person is required to bless on the bad in the same way that he blesses on the good, meaning that whenever bad happens to you, really it's something good happening to you, and therefore you're supposed to bless on it, and you're supposed to accept it, besimcha, with joy, and you should not complain and have pain by what you have to do, but the work you have to do. Therefore, on the level that Noah was before, this was considered a falling from the level. And Sefer Shemeroish brings also the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Kof Nun Aleph Omed Beis 151b, where there the Gemara says, Omar Rav Papa says, Nachtinan, we have a tradition that Arye Abeitrei Loinofel, that the lion does not attack two people, a pair of persons, meaning that a lion would attack one person by himself, but two people a lion would not attack. And Rashi explains that this comes from what is written in the verse in Bereshis chapter 9, verse number 2, after the flood, Hashem told Noah that after this, Mo'arachem v'chitchem iya, that the fear of you and the dread of you should be al kol chaya sa'aretz, over all the beasts of the earth, and included in the beast of the earth is a lion, and then the lion will have fear of mankind. That means that the lion won't attack mankind. But since it says Mo'arachem, and your fear in the plural, therefore the Gemara deduces that the lion won't attack when a person is in the plural, which means that there are two people. Therefore, Rav Papa says that a lion will not attack two. The Gemara asks a question, how can you say that the lion does not attack two people? Ukochazin on the Nafal, we see that a lion does attack two people. The Gemara answers, Aik the Rami Bar Chama, that goes according to what Rami Bar Chama says. That Rami Bar Chama says, Ein chaye sholetes ba'adam, that a wild animal does not attack a man, ad shenidma lo kebehema, until that man appears to him to be like animal. Shenemar, because it's written in Tehillim chapter 49, verse number 13, the Adam bikar bayomin, but a man in his glory should not repose, nimshol, he is ruled kebehema znidmu, when he appears to be like an animal, meaning to an animal, he is ruled when he appears to be like an animal, and therefore here in this case, where the person acts like animal, then the lion does not know the difference, then in this case, he would attack even two people. Sefer Shemeroish asks a question that according to the Gemara's answer now, it does not make a difference if it's one person or two people, meaning that if it's two people and they act like animals, then the lion would attack him. And if it's one person and he doesn't act like an animal, then the lion will not attack him. Then what does Rav Papa mean to say that a lion does not attack two? Therefore, Sefer Shemeroish answers, based on the Rambam in Moira Nevoichim, Chelek Gimel Perek Nun Aleph, where the Rambam there explains that the supervision of Hashem is dependent on your closeness and your dveikus to Hashem. Meaning that a person who always has Hashem in his mind and always thinks about Hashem, then Hashem is always watching over him and Hashem gives him complete protection. But a person that will only turn to Hashem in certain times, then only certain times Hashem will give him in protection. Therefore, he says that a person that's completely connected to Hashem has nothing to fear, because Hashem will always be with him and no harm will come to him. According to this comes out that if you are totally connected to Hashem, then Hashem is with you, then no harm will come to you and no lion could hurt you. Meaning, when it says that the lion does not attack two, it does not mean two people. It means one person, but when that person is really two, when the person is himself and the person is thinking about Hashem. If the person is himself and thinking about Hashem, in that case the lion will not attack him, because then he's always connected to Hashem and will have the protection of Hashem. Therefore, the lion will not attack him. But if he's only one, meaning that he is detached from Hashem, he's only himself physically and is not connected to Hashem, in that case, Hashem will not give him the protection all the time. Therefore, a lion could attack you. So when Rav Papa says that we know that a lion won't attack two, it does not mean two people. It means when the person himself is two. Meaning when the person is himself and connected to Hashem, then the lion won't attack him. According to this, Sefer Shemeroj now says that all three interpretations are connected. Meaning that we'll start with the middle interpretation, that Ach was diminished a little bit because Noach was complaining about all the hard work that he is doing and he wasn't happy about that. Since he didn't accept everything by Ahava with love and he wasn't Besimcha, clearly he lost his connection to Hashem. Once he lost his connection to Hashem, then Noach is not considered anymore as two. Noach is considered one alone. Therefore, is Rashi's first interpretation that Vayishoer Ach Noach, only Noach remained, which means only Levadoi, that he remained alone without his connection to Hashem. Not that he remained alone without any other person. He remained alone without his connection to Hashem. Once he is without his connection to Hashem, then we have what the Gemara in Shabbos writes down, that a lion only does an attack when there is two, meaning when a person is connected to Hashem, then the lion does not attack. But if the person is not connected to Hashem, then the lion attacks. Therefore comes Rashi's third interpretation, and Rashi says that the lion came and hit Noach. Meaning that all three answers came because Noach lost his connection to Hashem when he started to complaining about Hashem. Had he not complained about his troubles in the ark, then Noach would have not gotten hit by the lion, because then he would have the connection to Hashem. He wouldn't be alone. He would be considered as two. And once you consider as two, then the lion cannot harm you. And therefore, the lion would not hit him. But now that Noach lost his connection to Hashem, he became alone. He's not connected to Hashem. Now the lion has the right to hit him. Daruga Saboisim explains that it's written, Vayishoer Ach Noach, that only Noach remained, in the following way. That previously in chapter 6, verse number 9, it's written that Noach Tzadik Tomim Hoyo Bederoisov. He was a complete tzaddik in his generation, meaning that Noach had an adjective of tzaddik tomim in his generation. But once the whole generation died, then you cannot call him anymore tzaddik tomim, a complete tzaddik. You could only call him tzaddik, that he was a righteous person. But once Noach started to complain about his hard work, then he also lost the name tzaddik, the name righteous. He explains in the following way. The Torah writes down in Devarim chapter 13, verse number 5, Achare Hashem Elokeichem Telechu, after Hashem you should walk, Ve'oiso Tirao, and him should fear, Ve'sitzvoisov Tishmoiru, and his mitzvahs you should safeguard, Ve'koilo Tishmau, and you should listen to his voice, Ve'oiso Tavoidu, and him you should serve, Voisit Bokum, and in him you should cleave. The Gemara there says that Rab Chama Rab Chanina asks a question, how is it possible to follow the Divine Presence, since it's already written in Devarim chapter 4, verse number 24, Ki Hashem Elokecha, that Hashem, your God, Eish Ochloi, is a burning fire. So since it's a burning fire, how can we follow Hashem? How can we cleave to Hashem? The Gemara answers, Elo, it means to say, Lahalech, Achar Midoisov, Shalakodosh Baruch. They should follow on the attributes of Hashem. Meaning, the same way that Hashem clothes the naked, so we should clothe the naked. The same way Hashem visits the sick, so we should visit the sick. The same way that Hashem consoles the dead, so we should console the dead. That means that we should follow the attributes of Hashem. And the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kof Lamed Gimel, Amud Beis 133b, writes down that the verse in Shmos, chapter 15, verse number 2,
where it says, Zakeli, this is my God, Vanveyu, normally translated El Beautifying, but Abashol translates differently. Abashol says that Vanveyu means have a doimeloi, be like him. Meaning Vanveyu comes from the word Anivahu, that I am going to be like him. Mahu Hanun Vrachum, the same way that Hashem is gracious and compassionate. Af ato heye Hanun Vrachum. So too you require to be gracious and compassionate. So we see from here that a tzaddik really has to emulate Hashem. And since we know that Hashem feeds from Karni Reim, from the huge rams until Beit Sekirim, until the eggs of lice, meaning Hashem feeds everybody, then it's only fair that if the animals are given under Noah's responsibility, that Noah should feed them, and Noah should be happy to emulate Hashem, to be the messenger of Hashem in that job, and do it besimcha, and do it with happiness, and not complain about it, and not moan about it. And Daruga Saboisim explains that this could be the reason why Noah delayed the food to the lion, meaning that the Gemara in Brachas, the Mem Omed Aleph 48 writes down, that Osur L'Adam L'Kvoy Asuda, the person is not allowed to eat, Koidem Shite Machal Behemte, before he gives food for his animals. Because since it's written in the Shema, in Dvorim chapter 11, verse number 15, Venosati Esev Besotcho, I will give grass in your field, Levehemtecho, for your animals, Vochalto Vesavato, you will eat, and you'll be said that. So you see, first you have to give to your animals, and then Vochalto Vesavato, and then you have to eat and become said that. Why? Because certain times Hashem gives you parnasa, gives you livelihood, not because you deserve it, but only because your animals deserve. Meaning that since Hashem has to feed your animals, automatically you will be fed. So even when you don't deserve it, if your animals deserve it, then you get fed because of that. And therefore, a person should always make sure that his animals eat first and then he should eat. But Noah thought that since everybody is being fed by him, meaning that his merits is the one that caused the world to survive, therefore Noah did not give the food first to the animals, he gave them later. But had Noah only intended to make the mitzvah of Hashem, and quite the opposite, had Noah thought that the reason why he survived is because he has to take care of the animals, he has to emulate Hashem, then he would have fed the animals first. But since Noah failed to emulate Hashem, and he did it only with pain and complaints, therefore Noah lost the chance to be called tzaddik, righteous, and therefore Vayishaer Ach Noach, only Noach remained, meaning that all the adjectives that Noach had before had fallen off, because the Tomim, the complete tzaddik in his generation, that was fallen off when there is no more any people of that generation, since all of them got destroyed. It only remained the adjective of tzaddik, of righteous, but once he failed to emulate Hashem and he started complaining about his lot, and then he gave food late for the lion, then he also lost the adjective of tzaddik, and now only remains the name Noach. Therefore it says, Vayishoer, and remained Ach Noach, only the name Noach, without any adjectives around him. Because since he complained, he lost all this adjective of tzaddik. And according to this, the Aruga Saboism explains that all three interpretations of Rashi are really based on one thing. Meaning that since the middle in answer is that Noach complained, automatically became Ach Noach, which means Levat alone, meaning the name Noach alone without any adjectives, which is the first answer of Rashi. And because of that also, he gave food late for the lion. So all three answers of Rashi are based on the fact that Noach complained when he was given the job to support and feed all the animals. And we see from here that even Noah, which was described by Hashem as a tzaddik, but since he didn't accept what Hashem gave him, besimcha, with happiness, and he didn't do it with alacrity, and he complained about it, and he moaned about it, that in itself made him lose the adjective of tzaddik, of righteous. Hashem Yisburach should help that we should all move to make mitzvahs with alacrity, with happiness, we should not complain, and if we do that, we'll merit to have Mashiach come, the Beis Hamikdash rebuilt, במהרה בימינו, אמן.